history final. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds left.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the Announcer's Journal. Excited to have my guest this week. He is a 3-time Olympic gold medalist, the voice of swimming, called the 7 Olympic Games. And the list just keeps going on. 22-time NCAA All-American, 10-time world record holder, 8-time NCAA champion. And this is the one that gets me the most, the Alabama and Florida State Sports Hall of Fame. Not one state, but two. Welcome to the show, Rowdy Gaines, also known as Ambrose Gaines IV. Now, I know the backstory on your real name, but a lot of people don't. So for everyone that doesn't know, you were named Ambrose Gaines IV. Where did the Rowdy come from?
Well, first of all, Todd, it is so cool to be on with you. You are an amazing friend. And even more incredible partner, and I'm glad to call you both.
You're kind.
My nickname is Rowdy. It came from an old television series called Rawhide, and Clint Eastwood played a character called Rowdy Yates. And my real name, as you said, is Ambrose Gaines IV. I don't have a middle name. Rowdy is just a nickname that I was born with. And my parents didn't want me to go through my life being named Ambrose, but I am Ambrose Gaines IV. So it's a family name. I'm actually technically the 7th. My wife does a lot of genealogy work, and for some reason, my great-grandfather started over as senior, but I'm, in all reality, I'm the Ambrose Gaines the 7th, but legally I'm the 4th, but that's the name, Rowdy.
And you've been blessed with 4 daughters, and I've always told you, if you don't have any sons, you can adopt me. I would be happy to be Ambrose Gaines the 8th. I have no problem with that.
No, that's so funny, because you're right. After the 4th daughter, I said, well, looked like they're not going to be a 5th, that's for sure. But, I can't imagine having 4 beautiful daughters. Yep. And I'm very glad I had those girls. But, the boys are done. That's history. Not happening, dude. That ship has sailed.
Before we get to the race that I want to talk about the most, and all your experiences with Michael Phelps and the Olympic calls with Dan Hicks, let's talk about you. And I think a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, you're 3-time Olympic gold medalist from the 84 games in L.A. Were you a better and more explosive swimmer in 1980 before the boycott of Moscow?
No question about it. I mean, 1980 was my best year of swimming. In fact, I was World Swimmer of the Year in 1980. And really, from then on, it was kind of downhill, to tell you the truth. I was at my peak in 1980. I was between my junior year and senior year in college, and really had my best year of swimming. So I was hanging on by a thin thread by the time 1984 came around, Todd. I had the world record in the 200, didn't make the team in that. I got second in the 100 at the trials, barely made the team by 0.08 of a second. The third place finisher was just behind me. So, it was pretty traumatic in 1980. So I can relate a little bit to what the athletes are going through today. Of course, it's a little bit apples and oranges, because back then it's an athlete's career that was at stake, but now it's life and death. So obviously much different, but I can certainly appreciate the loss, that they're feeling, especially these athletes that are going for the Olympics, and, the feelings of denial and anger and sadness, and sooner or later, it's going to be acceptance. And for me, it turned into motivation.
You've got so many great pictures that you've shared with me through the years from 84. I mean, there was a basketball player that you have a picture with, I think at opening ceremony, one Michael Jordan, and you guys were like the celebrities of Team USA.
Well, I don't know about celebrities. I just saw him and I knew he was a celebrity and a potential future celebrity. I just had a feeling, he was going to be great. So I literally scoped him out at the opening ceremonies. And I said, Michael, can I take my picture with you? And right next to us at the time was Carl Lewis.
Yes.
So I grabbed Carl and I said, Carl, come over here. The three of us are going to take a picture. And so, I've had that picture ever since on my little Insta camera or whatever it was back then. And so I treasure that photo. I really do.
Yeah, but Michael only got, I think, 1 gold medal at those games, and you got 3.
Yeah. Yeah, a little harder for him to get more than one. But, he had a pretty good career after that, no doubt about it. And he was really nice. In fact, I was sick a few years later back in 91. Yes. I had come down with Guillain-Barré syndrome. And he sent me a video message in the hospital. It was just really nice. And we, you know, not that we became friends or anything, but you know, we became just from that moment at the Olympics, we did a couple things together after the 84 games. So not that we stayed in touch or anything. I do stay in touch with Charles Barkley.
That's and, the Auburn family.
He's a very dear friend, but Michael's been, was really nice during that time.
I thought for sure he would have reached out to you because one of the, folklore tales of Michael Jordan is he doesn't know how to swim or he didn't learn how to swim as a child. And I thought, what a perfect match. You could teach him and then he could teach you how to dunk.
Yeah, that'll never happen. I can't even begin to even get close to the rim. But you know, he didn't know how to swim. I did help Charles in the pool when we were at Auburn. He was injured one year and we helped him. It wasn't just me. It was a bunch of us. We helped him in the water. But never got together with Michael in the pool.
Let's talk about current situation and swimming. And I know you were looking forward to and prepping for 2020 in Tokyo and what could have been and some of the great stories that were going to be presented by you, Dan Hicks, and the NBC Sports team. You've talked to a lot of the athletes since the decision has come down to delay it till 2021. What has been the overwhelming theme and what have you gotten from the athletes and their attitude towards delaying for a year?
Well, Todd, I don't want to sugarcoat it and say, they're all been really positive. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be great. You know, it's been tough, man. I mean, you're not only taking that dream and that pure focus, you know, this is a 4-year journey.
Sure.
So you're at the end of this 4-year journey. Right. And so their focus is so lasered and all of a sudden, you know, you pull the rug out of that and, you know, it's hard. So I've talked to a lot of the national teamers and, you know, most of them have been pretty positive and some of them have had, you know, a tough time dealing with it. A lot of it's confusion. And that's what happened to me. You know, so I could relate to them was the confusion of like, there's no way they're going to cancel the Olympics. There's no way they're going to postpone the Olympics. And then the reality sets in. And I think when the reality set in for them and then not having the ability to train also has hurt their focus a lot. And now they kind of have to start all over again. But I will say to put a button on this, I think the great swimmers that your audience and most of us know, the Katie Ledecky, the Nathan Adrians, the Ryan Murphys, you know, the Simone Manuel, Lily King, those swimmers are going to be fine because those swimmers aren't going to turn from an incredible champion to nothing overnight. So they're going to be great. They're going to come out and everybody who was hoping to see them in 2020, unless something wacky happens injury wise, they're going to see them in 2021. So, but there are some that were right on the cusp that will be better next year. You know, because they're getting older and stronger. Mm-hmm. And there are some like, you know, I'll use a name like Ryan Lochte, who's, you know, already 35, 36 years old. That's going to be a year older and it's going to be a little tougher for him. But he's also Ryan Lochte. He's won 12 Olympic medals for some reason or another. So I wouldn't bet against him. But it for those older athletes, it's going to be a little harder.
Does the Olympics getting pushed from 2020 to 2021 absolutely positively slam the door on the greatest Michael Phelps ever swimming again at the Olympics?
Yes. Yeah. You know, no, I've had many conversations with him about this and there's no way he's coming back. First of all, if he was going to come back for 2020 pre-virus, Todd, you have to sit out 9 months. So he would have had to come out of retirement back in September or October, whatever it was,
to make the cut.
And he didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. To sit out, to have that 9-month waiting period. So he didn't do that. So I mean, if he's not going to do it in 2020, I can't imagine him doing it in 2021. Stranger things have happened, dude. You know, we've seen some strange things with athletes and retirements, but I don't, if I was a betting man, I would bet that he would not. And 4 years ago, if I was a betting man, I would have bet the house that he did. And of course, he did come out. And you and I were, we caught a lot of those races.
Yeah.
with Michael, and you've caught a lot of those races with me, with a lot of those great athletes. So you know, I mean, you've called the greatest female swimmer in history, Katie Ledecky, yes. And you know she'll be back.
Absolutely. I just, with the whole Michael Jordan thing and the talk about The Last Dance and when he came back from baseball, it still mm-hmm. just wouldn't surprise me to see Phelps all of a sudden just get that bug yep. of, I want to compete again and go to work. And I just wouldn't bet against him.
Well, you're right in the fact that he is incredible shape. I haven't seen him for a while, but the last time I saw him, which was just, a few months ago, he was, oh my gosh, guy is in, he's cut, mm-hmm. he swims every day. You know, he's aerobically very fit. So if you're asking me if he could, so the bigger question is if he came back, could he still compete? Could he still win? And the answer is absolutely yes. If Michael decided to come back in that one event, the 200 IM especially, mm-hmm. he would win the gold medal. There's no doubt in my mind. I think the best swimmer in the world right now is Seto from Japan. We've got an American, Chase Kalish, who had an incredible, well, you know Chase Kalish.
Yeah.
He had an incredible 2018, struggled a little bit in 19. But those guys are still about a second behind Michael and what he went in 2016. So even if Michael backed off a second and these guys stayed on about what they're doing now, he's right in the game, you know, and I don't think he's going to back off a second. But we're talking about something that's so hypothetical at this point, but it's kind of fun to talk
about.
But
it is kind of fun.
I sure wish he could. I sure wish he would, though.
I was saying, if I was involved in USA Swimming, I would say, we might need a fourth guy for a relay. Who could we get? Yeah. I'd say Michael Phelps or Rowdy Gaines. Get one of those two in the pool and we'll win gold.
No. I wouldn't be on the women's relay. I wouldn't be on the age group relay at my country club.
Stop. You're in the water every day, exactly, correct?
I am.
In some form, not talking about bathing, some body of water you were in every day.
No, I swim every day. I swim every day, yeah. In fact, at my dad's, my dad has a little house on the beach and totally legal and everything, but, it's on an island. So I've been swimming in the Gulf every day. So, it's been real nice. Yeah. I get in the water every day. I don't do much, but I get in.
That's amazing. All right. I want to take you back. You know, the race 2008, yeah. Beijing, China, the 4x100 freestyle relay. Take me to the backstory and what you and Dan Hicks and the production crew went through to get ready for this race. And what did you anticipate going into that race?
Well, first of all, without a doubt, it is the single greatest race in Olympic history. I will stack it against any race in any sport in Olympic history.
Unless you're French.
Unless you're French. And it's really primarily because of the backstory, like you said. First of all, the French were huge favorites. So before the races, before the relays, Todd, you've seen me do it. Mm-hmm. I try to break down every conceivable outcome of these relays. I give guys different splits, you know, based on their lifetime best,
right.
Based on what they performed at the current meet, every which way but loose, I break it down. And every single way that it was broken down, it always came out France. 100% of the breakdowns every time came out with France because of one reason, and that is Jason Lezak. Mm-hmm. So you have to remember that Jason Lezak was basically a journeyman sprinter. He was a great sprinter for the United States, no doubt about it. He had been on the 2000 relay, the 2004 relay, but never really had that one explosive race. And he will tell you that. In fact, he had never broken 47.0, if you're looking, thinking clock, right. In the 100 freestyle on a relay. He goes 46 flat, 46.0, which today is still the fastest split in history on a relay. Nobody's ever been faster. That's 12 years ago. That was through the suit era. That's how fast that relay split was. I even gave him, in scenarios, 46.5. But I never gave them a 46 flat, and they won by, I think it was 18/100ths of a second. It wasn't much. So there was no way I was going to give him that fast. Nobody would. And he anchored against the guy from,
yes.
France, a guy named Alain Bernard, who was the world record holder and also went on went on to win the Olympic gold medal in the 100 free at those Olympics. So he was like, there's no way he should have beat him. Plus, the French were talking smack the entire time before the Olympics. They were going to smash the Americans. I mean, it was like bulletin board
material. Put Michael Phelps and his boys in their place. Oh. Yeah.
When you go back to that Michael Jordan documentary, Todd, everything about Michael Jordan reminds me of Michael Phelps. The things he said about he never asked his teammates to do something he didn't do. He was constantly riding them. That's what Michael did. But he was always trying to get the best out of those guys. And so you're right. It was great bulletin board material for him and the rest of those guys on that relay. But it really came down to, and all the other guys did their part. They're all right at what I gave them. But it really came down to Jason Lezak's, not that if every single guy on that relay, Colin Jones, Garrett Weber-Gale, and Michael Phelps didn't do their part, they still would not have won. But it came down to 46 flat and Jason Lezak. It was still, today I get goosebumps talking about it to people. And I talk to Jason about it all the time. Every time I see Jason, I bring it up to him. Okay, tell me something else about it. Tell me something new. You know, I want to know something new. And the good thing is he never gets tired about talking about it either. So it's a pretty cool race. If you've never seen it, you really should Google it. In fact, they have the NBC version now, I think, on YouTube. So it's a great race, and it was so much fun calling it with my partner, who's been my partner now for 6 Olympic Games, 6 of the 7 that I've done. And Dan was awesome. Even twice during that relay, I said, twice, not just once, Todd.
Yeah.
But twice, I said, they're not going to be able to do it, Dan.
Can't catch him.
Not going to be able to catch him. So, but in that case, I like being wrong because I think it adds to the drama. And I was wrong, I'm sure, on a bunch of races I call with you too. So I don't mind that happening.
Never. So take me to the point. So Bernard leaves the blocks. Lezak leaves the blocks. Mm-hmm. At what point in the back of your mind did you let yourself go to, okay, there's a chance this is going to be closer than we thought?
Yeah.
Was it after the turn?
No, it wasn't after the turn. It was with about 30 meters. So popping off the turn, Bernard had a great turn, but Lezak really built some good momentum. He got up underneath that wave that the swimmers bring into the wall. So he kind of snuck up underneath that surf. And with about 30 meters left, so about 20 meters into that last 50, I could see Jason riding his wave. I still didn't think he was going to catch him, but I thought, boy, I think he's going to make this a lot more interesting than a blowout. This is not going to be a blowout. But again, I didn't think Bernard was going to die that bad and Jason swam that fast. It was just it was a perfect storm of a race for Jason because he didn't overswim the first 50. He popped the wall really well, and then he started riding the wave at that perfect moment. And then Bernard just went out too fast. And there's no more fear than a swimmer has than on a relay or in a race. And having a guy inching up on you inch by inch the last length of a race.
Because you can sense it.
Oh, you can sense it. And then you start to panic and you start to scramble and then you start to tighten up mentally and physically. And that's exactly what happened to Bernard. He's a really nice guy, by the way. I know him really well, and he's a really, really sweetheart of a guy. But he definitely and the crazy thing is he was really fast on that relay too. He was, I can't remember exactly what his split. I think it was like 46.7, but it was like the second or third fastest split of anybody else in the field. So he swam great. It's just, I don't know, man. And the crazy thing is Jason never went that fast ever again. It was sort of Beeman-esque, you know, Bob Beeman.
He uncorked it that one time at the perfect time.
Yeah. He did go 46.3 or 4 on the relay and the medley relay, but he never went close again to 46 flat. I mean, the closest he ever went again was the medley relay later on in the week where he went 46.3 or 4. Otherwise, I don't know if he ever broke 47 again. So he, you know, But what a time to pick it, and what a race to do it. And again, Jason is an incredible human being, great guy, a great spokesperson for our sport.
We're speaking with three-time Olympic gold medalist Rowdy Gaines here on the Announcer's Journal. Rowdy, after you have a call like that, and you've had a lot of big ones with Michael Phelps, with your partner Dan Hicks, how long does it take you to come down? And we all have that experience of, man, you go back to the hotel after something like that, and you just can't unwind. You're still wrapped up. And I know after that Lizak call and that 4x100 free relay, you were probably getting inundated with texts and calls and people that want to do interviews with you. But even today, talking about it, I can sense it, it's still like, wow. It, like you said, it gives you goosebumps.
It really does. And I think I felt that way with you. I know a bunch of times, but remember that race with Lily King?
In Budapest, Hungary.
In Budapest.
Yes.
And she broke the world record, yes. Won the gold medal. That was sort of the feeling, Todd. I mean, obviously a little bit larger scale because it's Olympics, but it was such an intense race. And mm-hmm. I remember you and I going out after and thinking, oh my gosh, how are we going to sleep? And it was one of those crazy things. And the fact that Dan and I went back to the truck, and it was like everybody came out of the truck and giving high fives and hugging each other and just really proud of the moment. Tommy Roy was our producer. Yeah. Drew Esikoff was our director.
Best.
Drew directs Sunday Night Football. Tommy Roy is the best in the business. Yep. He produces all of NBC Golf. Between those two guys and the rest of the crew, it was really a team effort. Mm-hmm. Mike Unger, who works for USA Swimming, was a big part of that, obviously, has been a big part of every call that I've ever been involved with. And this was not about Dan and I. This was about the entire team. And that's what made it so much fun, was going back to the truck and being greeted by the family,
you know,
being greeted by that NBC family. It was pretty cool.
I think what I like about the call the most is, you know, Dan's a pretty level guy, but he was so ramped up. And I normally would think, man, he went over the top, but it was so organic. It was you and Dan watching something amazing. You watching a comeback, and it was just you two guys that have a passion for swimming just going, this is going to be the most amazing finish ever.
Right. It was so funny because, you know, what's funny about that is if you listen to the very end, and it's Dan that says, where his voice goes like 18 million miles
Brady.
An hour, where he goes, unbelievable, I can't, you know, and that wasn't me. And everybody thinks it's me because I'm always getting excited, right? I'm going, that's not me though. That's Dan doing that. So yeah, it was pretty funny. We kind of tease each other because he's usually the one that kind of, like you're kind of pat me on the knee saying, calm down. It's okay. It's just prelims. But yeah, he definitely got excited on that at the end. You're right. It was totally organic. And again, if you go back and look at the call, it was definitely not rehearsed because neither one of us thought it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no, you know, first of all, we don't rehearse the end of race calls anyway.
Sure.
But certainly in that case, it was like, you know, this was the shock of the century for us.
More exciting moment for you, that race call and that finish, or the Iron Bowl, Auburn running back. That is my second favorite Rowdy Gaines video.
Oh my gosh, isn't that funny?
Auburn over Alabama.
So if you can Google that one too, just put Rowdy Gaines Iron Bowl, and it'll come up. The funny thing is, I didn't know my wife was, obviously, because I would not have done that. I looked
you,
like
but you were laser
idiot.
Focused on the TV. That was the best part. You didn't even know Judy had the camera up, but you were
laser
focused on the TV.
I had no idea because I thought they were going to make the field goal.
Sure.
Just our luck, you know. We're sort of the redheaded stepchild sometimes in the state of Alabama, but it was a great moment. You know, we bat about 200 against Alabama, but it was a batting average I loved that year. That's for sure. And I mean, arguably, I think it was voted the greatest into a football game in history. I know ESPN was doing that. I think it was one of the top three or four.
It's got to be.
For sure. If you watch the video, you'll see what we're talking about. But yeah, I started going nuts on it and watching Nick Saban walk out of the field. That's when I started jumping up and down. And I jumped like 3 inches off the ground. That's how far I jumped, you know. But it was cool. And my wife was just filming the whole time. And I end up attacking her. And that's why the video goes off. So It was pretty cool. Judy said she's right next to me, and she said to say hello.
She's the best. I watched that video so many times. If I remember a down place, a little sad, all I have to do is type in Google Rowdy Gaines Iron Bowl, and it's happy day, That's happy day.
It is. We laugh at it too. Believe me, whenever we pull it up, we always get a good chuckle out of it. I go, gosh, who is that? Doesn't that guy look like an idiot? I go, wait a second, that's me.
Talk about, as we move forward here with Rowdy Gaines, three-time Olympic gold medalist, the voice of swimming for NBC Sports, Katie Ledecky, and you mentioned her earlier about being the greatest female swimmer of all time. She is next level, and she goes about it in such a cool way because she's just so matter-of-fact. She's put in the work, and then she goes out there, and she just goes to work, puts on her hard hat, and goes to work.
Well, it's incredible for several reasons, Todd, and you've experienced it firsthand with me on a number of occasions. But I think the biggest thing is her consistency. Yes, she's gotten beat. Yes, she struggled a little bit last summer at the World Championships when she got sick. But overall, what she's been able to accomplish since 2012, and that's 8 years, has never happened in the history of swimming. Even Michael was not as dominant as Katie has been during that one stretch of 5 or 6 years, especially. She's got the top 10 times in history in the 400, the 800, the 1500. And she's perhaps certainly one of the top three or four nicest people I've ever met. Incredible family. The family is without question one of the top three or four great families I've ever met in swimming. Mm-hmm. And she's very humble. And gracious. Everything you look for in a champion, in my opinion, this is just my opinion. I don't know what anybody else thinks, but in my opinion, you literally look at Katie Ledecky and she epitomizes all of it. So she has certainly been a great, great swimmer in the water, but a better person out of it.
And before we let you go, just some final thoughts on the schedule going ahead. Will there be world championships? Mm-hmm. Do you think the Olympics will actually take place next July, 2020-21 in Tokyo?
In my heart of hearts, I do, Don. I am so proud of, I worked for a Japanese company for several years and spent about 6 months a year in Japan for, gosh, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. And I can tell you they're some of the most genuine, sweet, nice, hardworking people I've ever met in my life. And if anybody can do it, it will be Japan and it will be Tokyo. And, you know, I've been proud of the IOC, the USOC, NBC, everybody has come together. And I really do believe it's going to happen. I mean, right now we're all scared and there's that unknown. But if you're asking me, again, if you're asking me if I'm a betting man, I say it's going to happen. I say there's going to be an Olympics next summer, and I think it's going to be the greatest Olympics in history.
Rowdy, I appreciate the time. You're the best. I honestly, you're one of my favorite analysts of all time. You make my life so easy. I feel like I could just show up and they said, you're working with Rowdy Gaines. I'm like, I'll do it for free because you are that good of being an analyst. I always learn something when I'm with you that I didn't know before. And it's just a mark of a great announcer, which you are, my friend. Thank you so much for being on here on the Announcer's Journal, and give Judy a hug for us and stay safe, my friend.
Thank you, buddy. And I feel the same exact way about you. You're a great friend and I treasure that. Hang in there.
All right. Take care. You too. Take care. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Once again, my thanks to three-time Olympic gold medalist, the voice of competitive swimming, Rowdy Gaines, also known as Ambrose Gaines IV, which he told us today, though, he could be the 7th. Amazing. He's the best, absolutely the best in all he does, always prepared, and just a joy to work with. That's another edition of The Announcer's Journal. I'm your host, Todd Harris. We hope to see you again next time on another edition of The Announcer's Journal. Until then, stay safe, everyone.